Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got Justin Paul back in the co-pilot seat. It's episode 54, season 3 of the Dealing with Intermission podcast. We've got a jam-packed episode today. As you guys know, the sports world is humming. I mean, we got the Masters that just passed. We got another big golf tournament this week in the NBA, NHL playoffs. The MLB is about 10 games in. We got history being made in more facets than one in the MLB. We got the UFC 287, which was wild. The Women's World Hockey Championships. I mean, if you look around, it's just a lot to consume right now, but we're going to break down as much as we can. But before we get into the pregame show, a lot of you guys know that I was just on an Ottawa trip. I grinded, grit grinded it to get there, but we'll get into all of that. I have to say that this episode is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Guys, go over to manscaped.com, check out their plethora of great products. You got the Lawnmower 4.0, which is a great grooming razor for all of your body. You've got the Weed Whacker, which is great for your nose. It's the product line over at Manscaped is amazing. They've got shampoo and conditioner, which we all know I don't need, but a lot of people can use. But guys, go over to manscaped.com, use the code TDI20 or TDI for 20% off free shipping. You guys know the drill. But Justin, how are you doing, man? How's everything? How's life in New York, man? How you doing since last episode? How are the reviews, man? I got a lot of good reviews last, from our first episode together.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, honored to be back. Ready for another pod. Again, just like I said before, just honored to be a part of this Daily Intermission family. So excited to keep it rolling a little bit here and get into sports talk. But no, a lot of my buddies and people I've talked to fired up about it. They're obviously it's really exciting. It's something you almost can't believe at times to be a part of. So again, couldn't be thankful enough. But on the sports front, unbelievable Masters weekend. We got playoffs coming up, so that's just extremely exciting. In terms of home base here, like I said, we got 25 degrees Celsius weather. I'm in t-shirt, shorts, sweating. We got golf lined up all weekend, man. It's hard to say Christmas and early April, end of March. This is it. I'm loving it right now, so I couldn't be happier and ready to go, Greg.
I can't envision it. I mean, right now we're dealing with like 10, 12 degrees Celsius right now, which is pretty standard for early April in Nova Scotia, but 26, like get out of here, dude. That's just rubbing into my face. That's going to be some serious golfing this weekend. Maybe some beers mixed in. I mean, that's good stuff. But Justin, in the pregame show here, I gotta tell the listeners about the trip to Ottawa. So I gave Justin the briefing, but we haven't got into it all. So as you guys know, good friend of mine, childhood buddy Drake Batherson plays for the Ottawa Senators. So we did it last year. It's kind of the second annual trip. We go up for the Masters. We hang out at his house. We catch a couple Senators games. We go watch him play. So our flight is scheduled for last Thursday morning. So I'm driving into the city of Halifax. I'm going to stay with a buddy of mine who's coming on the trip. We're going to hit the airport and fly out early Thursday. Well, the flight gets canceled due to an ice storm. So we go to the airport, we check in with all of the airlines. They can't get us there before Friday night. So our trip, that's two full days of our trip because we were going to fly in early Thursday morning. So we're going to miss all Thursday, all Friday. This, Justin, I'm telling you right now, it was a dumb decision. We hopped in my car and we hit the road. Okay, so it's we're leaving around, so it's about a 15-hour drive. So we're leaving Halifax around 8 p.m., and so we're gearing up to go all night. And so we get, so people envision this for the American listeners. You're not really going to understand this travel, but Justin, you should be familiar with this. So you've got to go from kind of out the top of Nova Scotia. Then you've got to go all the way through New Brunswick, and you can kind of get to mid New Brunswick and you'd think that there'd be a road straight across, straight through Quebec, straight to Ontario. But no, you've got to go to the tip top of New Brunswick, straight across to Quebec, and then come all the way down towards Quebec City and Montreal. And then you're kind of right there in the Ottawa territory, but it's a full on ice snowstorm. So My buddy, thankfully, so my buddy Dawson, he met us from PEI anyway. So he's worked on the rigs, Justin, a little bit. So we're driving and we're passing. We're on the passing lane. We're passing one of these snow plows in between Moncton and Fredericton. And we start sliding completely sideways on the highway for like 40 meters. And I would have hit the brakes. Like I'm not a skilled enough driver to get this thing back on the road. I thought we were going in the ditch. Thankfully, we were only going around 70.
Yeah.
Dawson grabs the wheel. He gets this thing back. We're whipping back and forth. He doesn't even touch the brake. Like this guy's driven 18 wheelers. Like he is a machine. Like I was like, man, I was praised him for the rest of the trip. But anyway, we ended up getting a hotel. We made the rest of the trip on Thursday. But man, I'm telling you right now, it was a shit show. I mean, you get five guys together who are fired up to drink. It's never good news, especially that first night. But no, I mean, I could go in. Maybe I'll do a little breakdown later on alone because we've got so much to get into. And obviously, Justin, I don't want to just talk out my rear end. But it was a fun trip. And, you know, watching them beat Tampa Bay 7-4. Drake scores 30 seconds into the game. So DJ Smith's wife was sitting right behind us. The whole team knew that Drake had a bunch of buddies up. He starts them, scores that first shift. And, I mean, I don't really remember much of the night after it. It was
that's unreal, man. Yeah. Hey, that's how it goes. And you say American listeners about the travel, man. Early April, you're dealing with snow, ice, and everything, dude. Hey, that's Canada. That's we know it. We know it.
But, exactly.
No, I mean, like you said, hey, when you got that trip in your mind, you jump in that car, and it sounds like a good idea, no matter what. You're gonna get there. You're gonna have that. You've been waiting for this trip to happen. I'm not surprised, but yeah, glad you got down there. Glad you got to experience that. And he scored, so that's fired up. Let's go. And it sounds like it was worth it while you were there, for sure.
Absolutely. Would I do it again? Maybe not. Was it worth it? 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But let's hop into things. I mean, we're gonna get into the Masters in quarter four. Quarter one, we're gonna talk about the NHL because obviously we're just about to kick off the playoffs. We're a few days out from series one kicking off, from round one kicking off. In quarter two, we're gonna get into the NBA, Justin. Quarter three, we'll talk a bit about the MLB, and then in quarter four, we'll get into the golf world. But as I was in Ottawa, Justin, I did want to kick things off by giving them some love and talking about them. Yep. They've got a bright future in Ottawa. So I watched them beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I watched them beat the Carolina Hurricanes. And the Carolina Hurricanes needed that win. So it wasn't like they were just, yep, you know, out there, you know, mailing it in. Like, they needed a win in that game. But, man, I think this Atlantic Division, obviously it's hard to forecast, you know, what Boston and Toronto and Tampa are going to look like next year and even Florida. But this team, man, they have so many good young players. And if they can kind of get a goaltender in that mix, this is a team that might make a ton of noise next year.
No, 100%. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, it doesn't help the division. I mean, like you mentioned, it's such a stacked division. Like, this is a team where I think on Pacific and Central and stuff, like, yeah, you're talking about them probably being able to get in the wild card in the West, but that's the nature of the beast. I mean, I think you already touched on it, but a couple names stand out to me in terms of the future and how great it looks is Stutzel. I mean, Sportsnet put on a comparison, Stutzel versus Drat, first 3 years. Drat was 191 games, 50 goals, 137 points. Stutzel was 196, 68 goals, 163. This guy is legit. He is a legit player. He's going to absolutely pop off, probably 100 next season. Tkachuk, sneaky second highest expected goals in the league this year behind McDavid. Second. That's think about insane. The talent. Like, this roster is legit. Like, this top six, I mean, what do they all have 60 points? Stutzel, Tkachuk, Drew, DeBrincat, Batherson, and is it Pinto's the center? Maybe he didn't, but what, five out of six of your top six is getting 60?
Yep.
This is a great spot. Great spot to be a Senators fan right now, I tell you that.
And they're without their second line centerman who provides a ton of offense, Josh Norris, who was out for the entire year. Yep. He had 35 goals last year. And Timmy Stutzel, let's remind people, Justin, this guy's in his third year in the show at 21 years of age. He's 21 in his third year in the league. Like, this guy's going to be such a phenomenal player, man. And then, you know, you add in Thomas Chabot, Jacob Chikrin. This Jake Sanderson kid is going to get paid through the roof. He is a stud. I mean, this team, they've done a lot of great things. And we'll see, too. I mean, you never really know with new ownership. Obviously, we know the team's going to be sold in the next few weeks or, you know, months. You never really know what that can do to an organization, you know. Pump some money into it. Maybe they're going to spend a little bit more. It's going to be interesting. But I think that team, I wanted to give them a shout out because that's a team that's really going to make some noise in the next few years. Yeah, it really is. It's an exciting time to be an Ottawa Senators fan.
100%. I think I touch on it quick. I mean, I think the two things that are, if you're looking at the great things and you look at a little bit on the side of what could limit them, I think Chabot's going to have to be a big piece. I know he's been hurt here and there and his production, whatever. I think he's going to be a big piece. If he steps up and becomes the player he can be, that's a team that's going to make playoffs. And the second part is, they don't have a draft pick in the first three rounds this year. So, I mean, it's going to have to be free agency and hoping for development. But like I said, I don't think they need a whole lot more. They have what they need, it seems like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, a guy who can, because I watch Timmy some games too, he gets tossed around a little bit. You know, you can't have Brady being the toughest guy on the team. I like bringing in a guy with a little bit of toughness on the fourth line. They got guys who can skate on that third line. Obviously, we don't really know what's going on with Formanton, but that P.O. Josephs can skate. Ridley Griggs looked really good. You slide Pinto down to that third line, probably where he belongs with Norris coming back. So really exciting. But let's move into a team that is now crowned as the best regular season team in the history of the NHL. 64 wins, which has never been done. 133 points, which has never been done. Fastest team to 50 wins. Fastest team to 100 points. I mean, how impressive have the Boston Bruins been this year, Justin?
I mean, first of all, what a time to be an NHL fan. Like, what a time for the game. You're talking about Connor McDavid, the young talent we've discussed it many times, and now you got a best regular season. Like, we've heard about Canadians, Oilers, all this, and I was even someone who was like, we're never going to see stuff like that. This Bruins team started with their foot on the gas and never let up. It is unbelievable. And what amazes me the most is because of this regular season success and McDavid and et cetera, did we just see the quietest, sneakiest 60-goal season ever by Pasternak? Think about the hype around Matthews and McDavid we've seen. This guy just scored 60 goals and it just flew under the radar. But that's what Bruins are, man. There's such a team game and like the leadership and everything. Like, what a season. Unbelievable season. And honestly, like, it's a group that you can't help but kind of be like, hey, I respect what they do every time. It's not much. Like, I have trouble hating on them. I think it's amazing what they do.
Well, obviously, you know, I've been vocal about it. I'm a huge Boston fan. My family's from Boston, you know, from the top up in terms of my grandparents. But you're right. I mean, think about the amount of hype that Auston Matthews got last year with that 60-goal season, Hart Trophy winner. I mean, it's unfortunate, but Connor McDavid, I mean, there's no way you don't give him the Hart Trophy. But you take Connor McDavid out of the mix, it's going to David Pastrnak. Being on the best team in the history of the league, having 60 goals at 109 points, and I feel as if that he just goes under the radar just in general. Like, not a lot of guys talk about him. And yeah, you know, I think for a lot of the, you know, for the beginning of Pastrnak's career, it was maybe on the load of, but he's playing with Bergeron and Marchand. Well, guess what? This year he wasn't. This year he didn't play with those two. This year he was playing with David Krejci and Pavel Zacha and, you know, brought a lot to that line. And, I mean, this team, I mean, I look top to bottom. They are just so deep. They just got Taylor Hall back last night. Tyler Bertuzzi looks phenomenal. Nick Foligno's still on the outside looking in. I'm not sure if he's going to get healthy, but that goaltending tandem as well with Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark, I mean, it's funny too because, Justin, I mean, all of these accolades that they've garnered and gathered through the regular season, it really just doesn't mean that much unless you do anything in the playoffs.
I know. And you know what? Like, that's the thing with the Bruins is like, I feel like everyone perceives them, including myself, and as this, not dynasty, but this juggernaut of a team the last, 15 years, they only won one cup there. Like, they've been amazing. Phenomenal regular season record. Great playoff record. I think they've made it past the first round like six straight years or six of the last seven or something like that. Like, they've been phenomenal, but I mean, like you said, one cup, and it just feels like they need to get over that hump because it doesn't matter until you come playoffs, like you mentioned. I mean, and again, I don't know if this league is so stacked. You don't know. You can't even say like they're going to get it done this year. But like I said, for guys like Bergeron, Krejci, even Ullmark, like the guy who's in Buffalo and stuff, like I watched him a ton. Like, now he's obviously seeing a lot of success. Like, they're just a team that, like, if they win the cup, I feel like you're just like, yeah, that's the way you go about playing in the NHL, and that's how you win. And I would like to see it. I wouldn't mind that at all if they won the cup. But like you said, this this won't be forgotten because it's a record, but like it's not the same if you don't win that cup, 100%.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure because, I mean, I do believe that this might be their last crack at it. Not sure if Krejci's going to come back. Not sure if Bergeron's going to come back. Both signed on very, very team-friendly deals to come back for 1 year.
Yep.
Brad Marchand, certainly, he just scored last game, his first goal in 17 games. I mean, he just hasn't been the same this year. So it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of nice pieces there in Boston, but in terms of being the best team in the history of the NHL, obviously not that they can't repeat that, but this is why I'm hesitant. Obviously, we talked about it last episode. Only one team in the last 15 years to win the President's Trophy, to go on to win the Cup. The last time that we saw a team perform like this was the 2018-2019 Tampa Bay Lightning when they went 62-14-2. They got swept by the 8 seed in the first round. So obviously, we're gonna you know, hesitate to really look ahead, but I do think that this is going to be a team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs. But let's move into some player milestones, Justin. Let's talk about Erik Karlsson. I mean, first defenseman, I think sixth defenseman ever to score 100 points. First time in our lifetime since 1992, Brian Leetch. 100 points. And you know what's so impressive is this guy's doing it on a team that's trying to tank. You know, they're not trying to be good. It's crazy.
Has the San Jose Sharks solve the hacking in terms of a fan base? Do you just, hey, let's go get a 100-point defenseman. Nobody's going to say a word about us tanking, and we'll sit here and possibly get Bedard. I mean, Erik Karlsson, 64 points, 5-on-5. Who do you think's first in league? Maybe McDavid, you would think? No. Erik Karlsson leads the league, 5-on-5 points as a D-man. Unbelievable season. Most primary assists. He's 32 years old. Career high, 32 years old. I mean, like I said, the team he's doing on, you would think that he's doing it with a McDavid or with a Pasternak on Boston, as we mentioned, but he's just creating offense on his own. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what? And it's like we forgot about Erik Karlsson because of the injuries that he had. You know, I think he was dealing with a foot injury, you know, when he went over from Ottawa and signed the big deal in San Jose. And, you know, he just wasn't healthy. And now that he's fully healthy, it's like, you know, I don't think that guy's going to be sticking around there. If you're looking at, if you're San Jose and you're in the point of, you know, your rebuild, man, you got to get rid of this guy. And obviously teams couldn't do it this year. You know, what's he make, 11-6 or 11-5. But I think if you can get them to retain some money, I think that teams are going to be chomping at the bit to get Erik Karlsson next year. Because I mean, you have to think he's got some runway left. You, like you said, at 32 years old, he's got 4 or 5 years left where he can be a really dominant player. And man, he would have been fun to see in Edmonton. I know that rumor was floating around a trade deadline. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Unbelievable. And you know what? Like, I'm hesitant. I think he's going to be moved 100%. I'm hesitant to know where. It's not very often. We're talking about a 32-year-old, $11.5 million. The kicker being, it's not his last year on the deal. He still has time left.
Yep.
And that's going to be tough to do with retaining cap. San Jose's tanking, for sure. But if you don't want to retain cap for 3 more years of a guy, because you're going to want to start your signing process, your rebuilding. But, I mean, it's going to be tough to see what teams. I mean, the teams with cap space right now for projected, Sabres, Coyotes, Ducks, Red Wings. I mean, maybe Sabres and Red Wings are maybe teams that like think that this could be something that pushes them into that wild card spot. It's not going the Ducks and Coyotes, obviously, but like teams are going to have trouble finding cap, or they're going to have to make a major move to open it up for sure. So it's going to be interesting to see how many teams are willing to pay a 32-year-old. And I love Erik Karlsson, nothing against him. 32 years old, 100 points, phenomenal season. But it's not a secret the game he plays. He's not the best defensive player. He is very offensive. So I'm very interested. Like I said, I think it's going to be an interesting move to see what teams make room for that. Yeah.
No, absolutely. A few more milestones, Justin.
Yep.
So I was at the game. Claude Giroux, 1,000 points. Amazing milestone for a guy. I mean, he's just kind of flies under the radar. It's been unfortunate because he hasn't really gone on major cup runs in Philadelphia and now in Ottawa. And Joe Pavelski, another guy who, you know, just a phenomenal career, 1,000 points, do it on the same night. It's awesome. You know, huge milestones for those two. And then Sidney Crosby, 1,500 points. Just three just staples in the league for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And man, I think Sid, like with the McDavid takeover of the league, people kind of overlook, man, this guy's still playing at a high level. And unfortunately, they completely shit the bed against Chicago Blackhawks the other night at home. They're eliminated. But Sidney Crosby, Claude Giroux, and Joe Pavelski, they've all still got some game. And I think that Giroux could play a pivotal role for the Ottawa Senators moving forward if they're going to be a playoff team. But what'd you think about those guys? And the huge milestones for sure.
Yeah, not much else to say. Like you said, these are guys that I grew up watching play the game and have success both regular season and playoffs, points. Giroux. Always watched him on the Olympics, Canadian guy, and had a lot of success there. He was an absolute stud in Philadelphia. Plays both ends of the ice phenomenal. He's crazy on the dot, much like Sidney Crosby. So, those are stats that you love to see. I mean, those are guys that on the back nine of their career, obviously no secret about it. And you just want them to have success at this point. You know what I mean? Like any success they can find, you want them to have it. And it's pretty amazing. People are going to think I'm an Oilers fan. I'm not an Oilers fan. I'm a Sabres fan, but keep bringing up McDavid. I almost fell off the couch when I heard this stat. I love, so I don't want to bring him down at all with this stat, but he gets his point, 90th point of the season. And they say this, ready? Sidney Crosby now ties for the most 90 point season among active players at 7 with Connor McDavid. The guy's played 8 seasons. 20 seasons versus 8. Sid's been hurt. Again, I love Sid. Sid's my goat. So not the... don't say those stats. That's Let Sid stupid. Have his moment. I don't want to hear that stat. That is stupid.
It's unbelievable. And what is he? He's almost at 800 points. Or is he past 800 points, McDavid? Like, it's just... It's unbelievable.
Greg, the only season he didn't hit 90? Rookie year. He only played 43 games. He got hurt. He had 48 points in 43 games. Like he would have won 8-for-8. The Sidney Crosby again. Crosby, Pavelski, Giroux. Pavelski, that's the last thing to add. You see the tipping goal was the way he did it.
And
that's
unbelievable.
That's phenomenal.
You hear the hours too he puts in practice just standing up front. You always hear how great of a tipper he is. But awesome night for sure for those guys. But we're looking ahead to the playoffs because Monday night is going to be massive. We got round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We talk about it. It's the most exciting time. It's the biggest change in professional sports from regular season to postseason. The game changes. Yeah. It's hard hitting. There's not much ice. It's so exciting. I'm just beyond excited for it. But we do have some meaningful games tonight. So Carolina and New Jersey are still battling it out for the number one spot in the Metropolitan, which will have huge implications. One team's going to play the Rangers. One team's going to play either the Panthers or the Islanders. So, I mean, in my opinion, you want to win that number one spot. So tonight we've 100%. Got the Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Florida Panthers, but the Panthers need to win that game as well because they want to have that. They want to play that number two seed. They don't want to play the Bruins. So, and the Devils will play the Capitals. So we do have some meaningful hockey tonight. And then Dallas and Colorado are battling it out for the number one spot in the Central. I mean, there's still some jockeying left. I mean, I'm not sure if there's any series set in stone yet in the Western Conference, Justin. So unfortunately, we won't be able to break down the playoff picture, but we're going to come down. Maybe we'll release a brief episode this weekend, just kind of breaking down the series and kind of giving some projections. But let's talk about some disappointments. I know I didn't have this in the outline, Justin, but just kind of, you know, just from the, I'm stumbling on my words here, but you know, let's just take a holistic view of the NHL and look at some teams that have missed. Who are some big disappointments? I'll start things off. The Vancouver Canucks. You know, what a shit show of a season. You signed JT Miller to a huge year. You signed Quinn Hughes. You signed Elias Pettersson. You think that you've got your pieces. Bo Horvat's looking, he's going to have a career year scoring all those goals at the beginning of the season. Brock Besser, you hope, is going to, come back after a bad year. Thatcher Demko is a phenomenal goaltender, and you just completely shit the bed. That's a huge disappointment in my mind. Any jump off the page to you?
Yeah, I mean, two in the East that I'm a little bit hesitant on. Again, the East is so loaded. It's unbelievable. I mean, you could have a good season and not make playoffs. I lean to the Red Wings and obviously Washington. Washington for me is more Ovechkin. He had a great season. You always want to see those guys in the playoffs. Same thing could be said for Sid. Red Wings, I thought they made great moves. I was high on the Red Wings going into the season. I thought Yzerman put that team in a good situation to maybe sneak in that wild card. And for me, I'm not disappointed with their season in the sense that they didn't make it, but they weren't two in it for most of the year, if at all. Like, that's the one thing I had trouble with. But the number one team is Calgary Flames. Calgary Flames missing the playoffs. They were first place in the division last year. They weren't able to get into that playoff spot
despite a late push.
But I just feel like the Calgary Flames need to be in a spot where they were a contender with that trade they made with the Kachuk situation. But, I mean, to miss playoffs with the cap they're spending, the guys they're paying. And again, just that move, it was such a big move. And you could have gotten a lot of future pieces in that Tkachuk trade, but he opted to be a contender still. Just a situation where missing the playoffs, that's a big miss for that Calgary fan base for sure.
I mean, we got to talk about it too. I mean, having Nick Ritchie in the shootout, like, I'm sorry, man, but like, even like, I think if you look around that fan base and you look around that team, even in the dressing room afterwards, so we'll throw it back. So they're playing the Nashville Predators. The winner stays alive. And unfortunately, you know, both teams are going to miss, but you know, in the shootout, yep. Jonathan Huberto goes down and scores. The next three guys miss. The season on the line, and you throw out Nick Ritchie. I mean, I could not believe it. And you, with all the talent on the bench with Lindholm and Toffoli, I think Daryl Sutter is going to be done, but it's unfortunate. You're right. I mean, that's a team that that should be in the playoffs because they're built for the playoffs. I mean, that roster is a gritty roster. They can, play those tight games. And I think, yeah, just Markstrom and Huberto obviously having just a really off year as well. It didn't work out for them. But like I said, Justin and I will get together. We'll do up our predictions once we get these things set in stone after tonight. But NHL playoffs are here, man. And it's one of the best times of year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Quarter two, NBA. And unfortunately, this is what happens, you know, especially too when you're new. We'll get into the quarter two here. I forgot to start the record on the Zoom, so I'm going to play around with it for the first 15 minutes of the YouTube video. We're just going to have Justin's picture, and then it'll kick into his video here once we get into quarter two. But NBA action, man. It's the playoffs are here. And I mean, we'll get into the play-in talk, but we got to talk about Rudy Gobert and the Kyle Anderson situation. I mean, Rudy Gobert, so they're obviously disappointed at each other. You know, Kyle Anderson, I think, Mel's like, you've got to block some shots. Rudy Gobert kind of shoves him. I think it was a little bit, you know, brought out of proportion in regards to, like, he didn't punch him in the face. It was a shove.
Yeah.
But Rudy Gobert backsteps into the crowd. What a coward move. If you're going to shove someone, get in his face, man. Anyway, you hate to see it from two teammates. Obviously, a lot of dysfunction there in Minnesota, but what'd you think of that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, NBA, it's like, it's, you see these every once in a while on the sidelines. It's like, what could be going on there other than maybe a little bit of ego stuff or what have you, but to throw the punch at the teammate. He said it afterwards, obviously, like you said, it maybe was a little bit out of proportion. He said afterwards, obviously, I know I can't be doing that on the sidelines and stuff like that, and it's my teammate. So he was forgiving, got heated in the moment, but to go that far was crazy. I mean, for me, it was like, they're going into the play-in game here. They suspend Gobert for one game for the play-in game. McDaniels goes into the tunnel, punches the wall and fractures his hand. He's out for the play-in game. Minnesota, I don't know what you think of this Minnesota curse that I hear sometimes with my buddies and stuff. They've won one championship for all those four teams. This is going on as you're about to go into a play-in game. Timberwolves, man, they got to figure it out when you're going into situations like that. That is tough to see.
And so we fast forward. We'll talk about what you think about the play-in games after we talk about the results. But they're playing the Lakers in the first play-in game.
Yep.
And Anthony Davis fouls Mike Conley at the end of the game. Maybe one of the most bonehead fouls. Mike Conley goes and makes all three shots to go to overtime, ended up losing. So, I mean, yeah, you look around that Minnesota, those franchises. I mean, the Wild have had opportunities. I mean, we're looking about the Vikings. I mean, they have had the biggest choke jobs come playoff time. I can see that curse. I mean, the Twins might have an opportunity this year, depending on how their season goes in the Central. But yeah, man, I mean, they're going to have an opportunity. They're going to take on the Chicago Bulls to get into that playoff spot. But I mean, if that curse I hadn't heard that before, but I'm starting to see a lot of logic behind that. I mean, these teams just find ways to choke.
And that's the thing. It's find ways. It's like, I mean, we could talk about how many teams just don't get it done. This is, you see some situations. I'm an Eagles fan and watching miss field goals and stuff like that. When the Bears miss against the Eagles, that just brought up more conversation of the Vikings kicks have missed to cost them. Like, Vikings fans are sitting there like, man, we got it worse. Like, that's a tough fan base to have to be a part of choking it like that rather than just losing in a good fought game, man. So, absolutely. Yeah, funny to see.
So the Lakers will go on to play Memphis. Atlanta ends up beating Miami. They'll go on and take on the Celtics. So last night, the Raptors. So, I mean, obviously the Raptors are on the TV. They're up 19 points. You're feeling pretty good about it. And then all of a sudden, like, they just can't hit a free throw. They were 18 for 36 from the line. And you got DeMar DeRozan's daughter screaming. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, I guess the boy, like Pascal Siakam, was getting interviewed after the game, and they couldn't really hear her. And obviously, it went viral. I mean, that we see fans all the time, you know, trying to distract people that are at the charity strip. But I mean, what do you think about DeMar DeRozan's daughter? And what a comeback by the Chicago Bulls to beat the Raptors, man!
So I'm a Raps fan. Tough to watch. In terms of DeRozan's daughter yelling at the free throw line, I don't know if it's because, again, being a Raps fan, I do like DeRozan. He's a light all-time Raptor. I kind of liked it. I mean, his daughter's getting into the game. Good for her. I mean, getting fired up. DeRozan was able to have a laugh about it after. He said he heard someone screaming during the game. Someone then told him it was his daughter, and he's like, "Is she okay?" And he was laughing about after how he loved that she was in the game. I mean, She's a fan in the stadium just like anyone else. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm not sure how much the Raps players that did affect them. But I mean, hey, that's what sports are about, right? So I think that's kind of funny. But on the Raps losing, I mean, you're up by double digits. It's tough because being a fan and trying to be realistic, it's tough to sit here and say that I believe Van Vliet and Siakam being your 1 and 2 in today's NBA is something that would have or should have won for us. I mean, obviously, when you're up by double digits, you would like to see you finish out that game. But I just never thought we had the depth, so I wasn't expecting too much going into the playoffs. I think we have the opportunity to build a little bit and maybe have to restructure and kind of remap out how this Raptors team is going to be, because it still feels like we're hanging by a thread on that championship team and trying to kind of survive and be at that borderline playoff team. When current sportsmen, you got to rebuild. You got to go into the draft and you got to get those superstars and stuff like that. So nobody wants to tank, but it kind of seems like that's what the Raps are headed for. So
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we look back to the trade deadline, you know, they're right on the fringe of the play-in games. You got an opportunity to maybe get like a lot of interest around OG Anunoby, a lot of interest around Fred, you know, two guys who might leave, and they decide to buy. They go get Poeltl, and, you know, was that worth it? You know, it's, you know, especially too, with there's a lot of talent at the top end of this draft. I mean, who knows? And like you said, they've kind of been hanging on. I mean, they think that they're one piece away from being a competitive team in the East, but you know, we look at those top juggernauts in the East. Like, are they really even that close? It's just, it's interesting. But, you know, I do have a lot of faith in Masai Ujiri. I mean, this guy, he's a machine. He's willing to you know, to pull some strings. I mean, we saw with the Kawhi deal, and, you know, obviously they were hopeful with Giannis after, you know, before he signed the big deal in Milwaukee to maybe, you know, bring him into Toronto. But I think Nick Nurse is gone. I don't think Nick Nurse is going to stick around. I mean, he made some comments pre-playoffs. It sounds like he's got some interest in that Houston Rockets position that's just opened up. So I'm hearing that Ime Udoka could come in, the guy who was sneaking around with the women in the Boston Celtics organization. So, it'll be interesting to see. There could be some big changes coming to the Toronto Raptors, but obviously when you're up 19, you got to close out that game, man.
Yeah, and you know what? Nick Nurse, obviously never going to be forgotten for the Raptors winning that championship, but shocking. Maybe I'll go check out a no state tax place to go coach from now on and get out of Toronto while the team's going down, but good for him. Like I said, I'm always going to be a fan. He was great in Toronto, won us a championship. I mean, again, he's shown that he could coach the top players to a championship. Like I said, the Raptors the next few years aren't going to be that. So I that makes sense to me that he's going to head out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously it was just such a surprise when they fired Dwayne Casey after being the coach of the year. I mean, what a wild situation that was. But no, it's been a good run for Nick Nurse. But final play-in game, I guess not the final play-in game, the final 9-10 seed game that will go against the teams that lost. So Miami will go on to play Miami will play Chicago. And now OKC played New Orleans. Now OKC will go on to play Minnesota. So OKC ends up winning. Lou Dort and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, two Canadians for OKC, just absolutely balling, man. Incredible season for OKC. That is a team that that could make some serious noise next year. I mean, you think that their second overall pick, Chet Holmgren, didn't even play this year, and you got Shai playing at the level he is. You got Josh Giddey getting better. I mean, Lou Dort's just awesome on both sides of the court. I like this team. Obviously, I don't think this is going to be the season that they make any noise, but that was an awesome win last night. And I mean, New Orleans Pelicans fans have to be shaking their head, because I mean, this is a team, when they had Zion, was a team that was looking really very scary. But no, awesome win last night. Did you catch any of those highlights, Justin?
Absolutely. I mean, number 3, Josh Giddey. 6th overall pick, 31, 9 and 10. Are you kidding me? this team, SGA is him. Josh Giddey is him. I'm rooting for these guys to make noise in the playoffs. This would be electric. This team, what, rebuilded 2 years ago from, they had what, Westbrook, Durant obviously left. And Paul George was the one they traded away for all those picks. And they just got young talent after young talent. It's fun to watch. I mean, this is what you need in the NBA. We see the super teams. We know the top teams always are the ones that usually cruise through the playoffs. Nah, like this is the team. Like this would be so electric to see some NBA playoffs with a team that's young and low in the standings to just ruin some hopes and dreams of some of these top teams that have just been cruising. So, like you said, this next few years, this is going to be a team that's fun. I hope nothing changes, and I hope they just keep getting better. That'd be electric.
Absolutely. I mean, that stadium too is so sick to watch. I think they white out the crowd, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. I mean, I think back to the Westbrook Durant years. I mean, just unbelievable. But yeah, New Orleans. I mean, Zion Williamson. I mean, this dude, what's he played like a year and a half out of his 4 years in the NBA? He's just been so injury riddled. But when he plays, he's such a monster. Like, I don't know if you can label him a bust because he's been so great when he's played, but I mean, what does this guy need to do, Justin? I mean, this guy, like, does he need to focus on his weight? Does he need to shed like 50 pounds? Like, I'm so mind blown by the fact that these guys have access to the top tier medical professionals, trainers, everything, and he can't stay healthy. Like, there's got to be someone in that organization or in that league that can sit down with him, put him on a diet plan, get his fitness up, like call in Tom Brady, get him on the TB12 method. Like, what is going on with this guy?
Man, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, at what point do you start to feel bad for him? It's like he's only played a third of the possible games in his career so far. And talk about feeling bad. The Pelicans fan base, man, Anthony Davis leaves. You get absolutely gifted this pick with Zion Williamson. That was the hype around that draft was unreal, and you end up winning it. And he can't get into games. And when he does get into games, he doesn't make it easier for you because he plays unbelievable. I think you said hit it on the head. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you make a drastic change in his body comp, because like you said, you got to think that maybe less weight would help. But then again, he was so dominant with that weight. You know what I mean? Like, does that change his ability to rebound, his ability to use his body? I mean, teams were saying when he was healthy that it's like playing football against the guy. So you got to weigh that. Like, you got to weigh those two options. Like, do you want him on the court or do you want him, like he said, being Zion? And he got a lot of the heat for saying I'm healthy, but I'm waiting till I'm Zion. Like, as an athlete and like the way athletes talk and think and play the game, when he's saying he's healthy, but he's not Zion, I don't think that's him saying like, I want to sit out until I'm the best player in the league. Like, not feeling like you and not trusting your body is a dangerous thing to do when you're playing at the high level. Like, I'm not standing up for players sitting out at all. You don't like to see that, but if he went out there and he wasn't feeling confident in his knee, ankle, whatever it is at the time, it could just cause way more injuries. So, I mean, I get what he's saying. I feel for him. I feel for the Pelicans fan base. And all you can really say is you hope it's something that's not an issue long term, because you'd love to see that career take off to what it would have been for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm crossing my fingers, just not only for the fans down there, but for Zion, because he does seem like a good guy. Yep. And I mean, you have to think too, this guy's, the spotlight's been on Zion on social media. I mean, I remember him throwing footballs when he was in high school. Like, it was just like, this kid is a freak of nature. So yeah, hopefully he can get things figured out, man. I think that would be good for the game. It's just, you know, he is a superstar, but all right, let's look at the playoff picture here. Let's just go through. So obviously on Friday night, we're going to have the Bulls Heat and the Thunder Timberwolves. Any feeling on which way those games are going to lean? I mean, the Heat and Timberwolves are big favorites. Obviously, those are the top seeds that lost in the first play-in game. Actually, you know what? First, before we get into the predictions, Justin, how do you feel about this whole play-in situation? Are you a fan of it? Do you think, you know, obviously the NBA is doing it for, you know, extended TV revenue and all of the, you know, just extra game revenue. But how do you feel about the play-in system?
I mean, I don't love it. I mean, it's not something that I think should be removed, or I don't have that kind of feeling towards it, but it's not my favorite. I think this whole vibe they were trying to look for of earlier playoff action and extra playoff action, I don't necessarily think it was needed, because I feel like what you tried to gain in terms of, hey, we have more playoff games, like that kind of intensity, that purposeful games. Yes, you put that in place, but you just, all you did was remove the regular season finish of needing to make the eighth seed and those kind of playoff intensity games. So it's like, now you're playing games that kind of seem a little Mickey Mouse in terms of making playoffs, being a 10 seed, making playoffs kind of just doesn't seem right. So for me, I'm not a huge fan of it because I don't think it's necessary. And like I said, I think you're getting those games because you need to make the playoffs. So that part I don't love, but like I said, in terms of getting playoff action going, I don't think it's the worst thing ever done. So I don't think it's something that is god awful. But I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not like a guy that's like this needs to leave. I've watched these teams for 82 games. We know exactly what they are. We know that they're a team that's battling in. Could they make noise? Could they have a huge upset in the first round? Maybe, but you know, we're just kind of really just pushing on the inevitable. It just seems a little forced in my opinion. I don't love it, but. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to have an 82 team season, let's just go 1-8 and let's just get things going. It's just kind of delaying the start of the playoffs. But yeah, let's talk about it here. So we got the Bulls, Heat. I mean, I think the Heat should win that game. I think that the deeper team, Justin. But how do you feel about that one? I mean, the Heat 5.5-point favorites. I mean, they're going to go on and take on the Milwaukee Bucks, whoever wins that game. So I think it's just, you know, I don't even know, you know, how much playing for what, five, six extra games, maybe even four.
Yeah. Definitely not a desirable situation for whoever wins this game. I lean Bulls. I don't love it. I don't honestly leaning either way. It doesn't really make sense to me, but I mean, if you had to pick a side, Bulls to me as an underdog on the road, they just had to come back against the Raptors. I mean, it feels like the Heat have been dealing with injuries all year. I think Butler and Lowry are still listed just always as injuries. But, I mean, it seems like this Bulls team should have been better than they were this year. I mean, you can say the same for the Heat, but for me, this Bulls team has talent. I like LaVine. DeRozan's got experience, and Vucevic is a monster. Vucevic is not a problem on this team. So I'm going to lean Bulls. I know that's not what the Vegas or whatever is saying, but I'm going to take Bulls. The Heat haven't showed me anything to believe in. And like I said, the Bulls haven't either, but I think they're three dogs there. I'm going to ride with them to see if they could take it out on this game for sure.
I like it. And let's move to OKC, Minnesota. I mean, do we go against our Canadian guys and Lou Dort and Shea, or do we just say that these guys are going to, I mean, the dysfunction in Minnesota has been evident. Are we going to ride OKC?
You know what? We're talking about an eighth seed playing game. It's not enough on the line not to. This team is electric. This team is electric. I will not be shocked if they blow Minnesota out. Who's going to want it more? Who's going to want it more, and who's going to be more dialed? They're punching each other and walls in Minnesota, and this SGA giddy treat to duo right now is absolutely firing at all cylinders. This game could be done at half, and that's what I hope. I want to see the Canadians. I want to see SGA absolutely ruin hopes and dreams in the playoffs. That would be unbelievable to see.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, let's just go quickly here. So we do have some series set in stone here. So we got six series. Let's go through each of them here, Justin, just quickly, and we'll talk about prediction, winner, and how many games. Starting things off, Brooklyn Nets, Philadelphia 76ers, who you got?
Brooklyn Nets, 76ers. 76ers and four. I don't think it's going to be close.
I like it.
I don't think that Nets have the ability to hang with them. I think 76ers are too deep, too strong, too much star-studded ability. Things can be quick and easy. What do you think?
I'll go 76ers and five. I'll say Brooklyn takes one on the road at home. You know, somebody gets hot. Spencer Dinwiddie puts up a massive game I'll just go just to kind of give me a little leeway, but both of us think that's going to be a quick series. Okay. Atlanta Hawks, Boston Celtics. Might be actually a longer series than people might think here.
This series to me, I completely agree. I think that's what I had. I think it's going to be surprising. Boston's going to win. I'm going to take Boston to win this series. I do think this series could go six. The track record in the NBA for first round top seeds going distance isn't great, but this Hawks team played nine players in their playing game, seven of which got double digits. And the eighth player, Capella, who he didn't get double digits, had 21 rebounds. That is a deep team that has a lot of guys clicking. My prediction is maybe they steal game one. Maybe they take one in Atlanta. But then I just, like I said, NBA talent, top teams. I'm going to go Boston in six games.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm feeling the exact same thing. I'll take Boston in six as well, Justin. You'd have to think too. I don't really know. I mean, Robert Williams isn't the biggest center. Al Horford, like, how are they going to deal with Capella down low? And they got some size there. And the Dejounte Murray and Trae Young, you never know with those guys. Those guys can score. So it's going to be an exciting one. I think that's, there's going to be some high scoring belts in that, I can imagine. But no, we'll go Celtics in six in that one. We got the Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. I'll start things off. I'm going Cleveland Cavaliers in five. I think they make quick work. I think they're the better team. They're the deeper team. And I think the Knicks, I mean, I think they're just they're a bit of a pretender in this series. I like the Cavaliers in five.
You know what? I don't hate that at all. I don't hate that at all. And I think you might be right here. For the sake of having a little bit of a competition for a record here, I'm going to go Knicks.
Yep.
And I'm going to go Knicks in seven. I'm going to make this one a little bit spicier. They won the season series 3-1 against the Cavs, but I don't think they're the better team. But why I'm going to take Knicks in seven, sometimes in sports, you have a team's number. For whatever reason, you have a team's number. I might be sitting here in a few weeks, and it's Cavs in 4, 5, or 6, so I don't disagree with you a ton, but I am going to go Knicks in seven. And hey, we got a little head-to-head in that one.
So I love it. Warriors, Kings. We got the Sacramento Kings who were in the playoffs. They ended their drought. Can they overcome the defending champions? I'll go the Warriors in six. I do think they take a couple games, but I'm taking the Warriors. It's going to be hard to bet against Steph, Clay, Draymond. I'm hoping Andrew Wiggins is back. I haven't heard much about that whole situation, but I'll go Warriors in six.
Yeah, as far as I know, Wiggins is coming back. I'm going to go Warriors in five.
Okay.
I don't like it. It kind of feels weird to me that the Kings are a three seed and I'm feeling like Golden State Warriors in five. Golden State hasn't been good on the road, but they did win the season series 3-1. I think I said on the last podcast, I don't like the Kings at all, so I'm not backing down from that. I think they are a little bit of frauds. They can score the bucket, though. I think this series, for fans, for neutral fans at least, this is going to be a series that's going to be fun to tune into. I think it's going to be a high scoring on both sides, and you get to see Curry, Clay, Darren Fox, Sabonis as a dog. So I think this is gonna be a fun series. I'm gonna go Golden State in five.
I like it. All right, we got two other series set in stone. We got the Lakers Grizzlies. Obviously, we know the Grizzlies have had a great year, second seed in the West. The Lakers kind of starting to come on as of late. Anthony Davis is playing better. LeBron James is not looking his age. He's been playing better. What do you think? I mean, I'm a big LeBron James fan. I appreciate what he's done. But I'm going to take the Grizzlies in this one, man. They play such a great team game. John Morant's looked good as he's come back after, you know, flashing the guns around. I'll go Memphis in six.
I think we're in the same mindset. I'm going Lakers in seven because I just don't know where Moran's at. I mean, he hasn't been good in his last few games coming back. I mean, he's been star player, but he hasn't been 30 a night, 10 assists and all that. So I'm going to go Lakers in seven. I also fully am aware that it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis that probably is making me a little bit more biased, but you know what? I'm okay making LeBron predictions, taking LeBron's side in predictions until he's out of the league. Destiny's been on that side throughout his career. So I'm going to go Lakers in seven. I do have the fear that this could look bad later on though, but I'm going to go Lakers in seven.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I could look bad for betting against LeBron, but that's all right. And now we've got probably the most electric first round series with the Clippers and Suns. I mean, this is going to be an unbelievable series. I don't know what the health's looking like on the Clippers right now. Paul George is out. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at Kawhi doing most of the heavy lifting right now. I'll go Suns in five. I don't know if the Clippers can hang with them. I'll go Suns in five here. What do you think?
I think we're on the same side here. I had Suns in five coming into this. I think that it's going to be a series that Paul George being hurt kind of is the narrative, and I think that's what's going to show. Suns have everything they need. I mean, they're a team that's built to go way more than round one. I will say it's a little unfortunate that he's hurt. I know he's gonna play in this series. Obviously, I don't know that he's 100%. If Paul George played this series 100%, this would honestly be a finals preview of a series. Like, both of these teams could be NBA champions if both teams are fully healthy. Obviously, that's the nature of the beast playing sports. So I'm going to take Suns at five. But you know what? Durant hasn't played a ton of games with them. They haven't had a ton of games to get that chemistry up. But I still think that the injury to Paul George is the reason that we're going to see them be able to do have success despite that. So I'm going to go Suns at five like you did, yeah.
I like it. I like it. So those are our first six series. Obviously, we've got two more to predict as they're set in stone. But let's move over to the halftime show. Did you get a couple would-you-rathers ready to rock, Justin?
Oh, yeah, I did.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start things off, all right? So, Justin, hypothetically, the Toronto Maple Leafs lose in the first round this year in the playoffs. Would you rather the Toronto Maple Leafs move on from Mitch Marner or move on from Austin Matthews?
So we're going to get right into the heat right away.
Oh, I'm throwing you in the fire.
I'm going to go with move on from Mitch Marner. And I know that this year he's in a phenomenal case for showing that. He's been unbelievable and he's been very consistent. The fact that Matthews with 40 goals is looked at as such a down year is why I lean Matthews. This guy's ceiling is phenomenal. He's still young in the league. He still has plenty of years to come. He's going to keep getting experience. He's going to score goals at a high clip nonstop. Sneaky stat, Austin Matthews leading forwards in block shots this year. So this a little bit of a narrative of Mitch Marner being great on the PK, which he is, and being reliable on both ends of the ice. Don't think Matthews is a guy that's purely a goal scorer. I'm going to take Austin Matthews because of the potential to score 50, 60 goals a few more times in his career, and I think he's going to do that.
Yeah, I don't mind that pick either. Obviously, this is a very hypothetical, but even two, I think a centerman is a little bit more valuable than a winger. I mean, obviously, we know Marner's might have 100 points. Is that sitting at 99? But yeah, that's a tough pick, but I'm sure that question will arise if things don't go well for the Toronto Maple Leafs in a week's time.
All right. I got one back to you, NHL.
All right.
Yeah. Going into this playoffs,
yep.
All teams the same.
Yep.
Would you rather McDavid and Makar on the same roster?
Yep.
Vasi, Draisaitl, and Kucherov on the same roster. I'm giving you the goalie with Jack and Cooch.
Yeah.
Or you get McDavid and Makar on one roster together.
Yeah, this might be a shocker to some people, but I'm going with the goalie and I'm going with Cooch and Draisaitl. Just due to the fact that, I mean, we look at Vasilevskiy. He's been to three straight Stanley Cups. I mean, this guy is a freak of nature, and we know how important goaltending is down the stretch. And, I guess you could have a nice goaltender. I mean, McDavid and Makar can will themselves through a playoff series, but, I mean, Kucherov, I mean, they've got four cups compared to the one cup. So I'll take experience and I'll take the goaltender, but that's a good question. I mean, gosh, can you imagine if Makar and McDavid played together? I mean, that would be stupid.
Unbelievable.
All right, Justin, would you rather be the franchise to get Connor Bedard or Victor Wembanyama?
Ooh. I'm going to go with the franchise to get Connor Bedard. It's close. The reason I'm going to go Connor Bedard, which there's many, World Juniors destroyed and dominated the best-on-best talent international, okay? In the lowest point that you could argue for Bedard's season that he's had this year is his team going out in round one. The reason I look at that as a skyrocket for his draft stock, and which there is none, it's one, this guy put up 20 points in seven games and they lost in seven. That tells me he took one of the worst teams in the league to the playoffs, brought them to seven, and just absolutely lit up and they still couldn't win. He is not the reason. He put them on his back. This guy is unbelievable. More junior goals than McDavid, more points per game than McDavid. This guy is at a clip right now that, again, McDavid is ruining the ability to appreciate other players because this kid is generational, lifetime talent that is coming out into the draft. I mean, man, what a time. Like I said, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. What a time to be an NHL fan. McDavid and Bedard stepping into the league at the same time. Victor Wembanyama is a unicorn, and I got to show love to him. I saw a video the other day. He shot a three-point ball and he put back dunked it after he missed.
It didn't even look like he jumped for it. It just looked like this guy, stupid. Oh, stupid.
Unbelievable. That's a phenomenal one. I hope neither are busts for sure. That's the one thing I'll say.
I think you made the right choice there, Justin, because I think we've got more statistical analysis, more kind of film, more just information regarding to Connor Bedard. I don't know if we have, like, I know we've got the freakish kind of physical attributes that Victor has. We just don't really know. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns, I think, regarding, you know, health and just overall game. So, I mean, they're both going to be phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. They're both franchise changers. I think that Bedard is the safer freak of nature superstar.
Yep, for sure. All right. Take it a little bit different here.
Let's do it.
Put yourself into the sports world here.
Yep.
Hey, here we got. Would you rather? We're gonna go golf. We're kind of getting into golf season. Masters just happened.
Yep.
At your own level and talent, would you rather be able to play the full four rounds at every major for the rest of your life? So, but no other golf. The only golf you play for the rest of your life is playing the four majors, but you get all four rounds the rest of your life. Or you play your normal golf for the rest of your life and you get that. You don't have to change a thing. You play whenever you want, whenever you can, but you can never watch the majors ever again in your life. So you're either playing on the majors, but you don't get to play outside that ever again. You get what? Four rounds, four times a year, or you get your normal life now, but you can't watch the majors.
I'm stepping in and I'm pegging it at the majors because that for me would be fun. Can I practice outside of playing in the majors?
We'll allow driving range. Yeah. We'll go driving.
I'll go to the driving range. I'll blister up the hands. I'll put in the work. I'll get out there and I'll shoot 120 in the majors. I will grit grind it. But I love watching golf too much, and it's one of my favorite sports to watch, especially come major season. I wouldn't be able to. It's one of the things that fires me up to play golf, watching those guys hit shots, watching those guys just play phenomenally. That's what I mean. Watching the Masters, I think that every golf fan, every golfer watching the Masters is like, I got to get out there. I got to see where my game's at. So yeah, I'll be playing in the majors. I mean, I couldn't stand not watching because I almost love watching them as much as I love playing. It's that much of a love of mine. But I mean, we had very, very similar last would you rather. So my would you rather, Justin, is would you rather play Augusta once or have lifetime tickets?
I'm gonna say it pretty confidently here. I'm gonna take lifetime tickets, and here's why. I like watching Augusta. I like watching the Masters. If and when I go out there and shoot 220 on Augusta, I will not like Augusta, and I might not like the Masters. I am going to sit in that crowd on my little chair and watch the best, play the best at the best place to play the best. I'm going to do that. I love the Masters. To be able to see it in person every year would be unbelievable. Again, you would like to play Augusta, but to get the tickets instead of shooting a 220, I'll take that side. What about you? That's a tough one though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going with lifetime tickets. I mean, like you said, I mean, to play Augusta once, obviously it's on the bucket list, but it's not like it would be fun. But the fact that I love watching it, and every year it's just it kind of kicks off golf season. It's the best golf course to watch. It's so traditional. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it wouldn't be enjoyable. I mean, you would go out there and just your golf game would be just, you'd be all over the map, putting it in water. You'd be losing golf balls. You'd be shooting, you know, who knows? I want to know what a scratch handicap from your golf club go out on Augusta National and shoot. Like, I don't think they're breaking 90, 95.
No, I don't think so. I mean, especially on a one-time go of it. If you gave them maybe like two or three rounds in a weekend, I could see it.
Yeah.
But man, from everything you hear, it's a different animal. I mean, all the major courses are. I mean, it's just such a big step, and I could see it possibly like happening, but I wouldn't say that that's more likely. No chance.
No. Is that all we got?
All right.
Oh, we got one more.
I got another one. Yeah, let's do it. Another one. If you want another one.
Yeah, fire it up.
Would you rather?
Yeah.
Take a hit by pitch from prime Aroldis Chapman. Oh. He's clocking that thing over 100.
Yeah.
Or you get your hockey gear on and you block a 1-tee bomb from prime Ovechkin on the spot on your PK in that, soaking that puck.
Oh man, I'm taking the hockey puck just due to the fact that you got a bit more gear on. You might get lucky. Yeah. It might hit you in a good part of the shin pad. And Chapman hitting you. I mean, I've been watching. I mean, how many guys? We got a guy last night took a 92 to the face. He had Justin Turner in the preseason take one. I don't know if you saw Turner's face, but it was disgusting. So anyway, I'll go with the shot by Ovechkin. But
yeah.
I mean, either one. I mean, you're dealing with some purple on the skin, and it's not going to be a pretty sight. But no, that was good. That's our first halftime show, and I mean, I'm thinking about 8 months. So that's good job. I know the listeners will be happy about that. But Justin, let's move into quarter three. We got some MLB to talk about. And I mean, how can you not talk about the Tampa Bay Rays? They're on an absolute heater. A 13-0 start. That ties the best start in MLB history. It's just unbelievable what they're doing. I mean, I don't know where they bring these guys out of. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, Shane McClanahan is obviously a stud. That's the stud that we all know. But he hasn't even been the best pitcher. I mean, you got this Jeffrey Springs and Drew Rasmussen. They both haven't given up an earned run yet. They have just been incredible. You got Taj Bradley last night. A prospect gets called up. I mean, everything is going right now for the Tampa Bay Rays.
This Tampa Bay Rays run, to put in perspective, is about hitting bombs and giving you nothing. This team, 70 plus 71 run differential, first, 92 runs scored, first, 26 runs against, that's first, OPS first, ERA first, barreled bats, which is just a fancy word for bombs, first in the league. It's unbelievable. This roster is exactly what you said. Franco, Arozarena. These guys have just been there and now are absolutely popping off, which they at least, man, this is going to be electric. This is awesome. This is awesome. And you know what? I bring this up because I want to say it for the Rays fan base, for the fans that are out there. This team has had nine home games in their 13-0 run. Nine home games. They are fourth last in fans in the stadium at home. Fourth last. Nine home games out of 13, they're fourth last. Man. This Tampa Bay, I know the stadium, I think this, I've heard the stadium's not in the best spot, but these guys need fans in the stadium. This run should be celebrated like crazy in Tampa, and I know there's fans out there. That's why I bring it up. The fans out there got to be loving this, and you just wish that they could be packing this stadium for these guys that are just going out there and putting it all on the line and setting records, because it's amazing what they're doing.
And you have to think, too, that the Trop is getting filled by some Red Sox fans, because that's, I mean, yeah. Boston fans travel very well. So, I mean, you got to get some Rays fans in there. I mean, it's hard to believe that they don't, you know, get more fans, because people love their hockey down there. People love their football down there. It's not like they're without sports fans. It's not like Tampa Bay is a small market. So it's unfortunate, but they've been incredible. We had to bring them up. It's just insane. Yep. But we'll stay in the AL East as we always do. The Jays. I mean, I'm hoping to get there this summer because they have got some brand new stadium renovations. They've redid the outfield. It looks fantastic. And I know that there's going to be more next summer. I was listening yesterday to Shapiro, who's the president, I think, of baseball operations. But they're going to be redoing all of the facilities, all of the dressing rooms for home and away. It's interesting. I mean, it's a very unique stadium. Obviously, Justin, I'm assuming that you've been there a few times at the Dome. And obviously with the retractable roof, it's just a concrete block. It's actually in an amazing location in Toronto. I mean, right downtown, you could throw a football to the CN Tower. It's a very odd. It's a very odd stadium. But I mean, what'd you think about the new look? I liked it with the beer kind of light up signs. It looked really cool.
So I've been to a couple of games in that stadium. I've been a good amount actually. And it's, first of all, where it's located, every team in pro sports should be doing the same thing. It's a walking distance, like you said, from the Leaf Stadium. Right across the street is BMO Field, where the MLS team plays and the CFL team plays. And literally front doors, like this is like front doors are CN Tower front door and the Rogers. Like they are right there. Nice opening. The water's right there. Beautiful. Then they do the renovations, which the stadium was already in great condition or one of the nicer stadiums, I thought, and they just make it even better. And that's what Toronto does so well, is they know their fans are coming. And you know what? They're not afraid to put money in to make the experience great. What I think we should get into a little bit, too, I want to touch on is the outfield wall. They redid that outfield wall, and they brought that thing in a little bit. And I went into it a little bit more. I wanted to read some deeper stats on it. So what they did is they brought the field in from where the warning track became grass, right? So it's about 15 feet, or I want to say, and they brought it in. So already a home run friendly ballpark becomes even more. And the argument that they had was they raised the wall up 4 feet. So the whole wall used to be all the way around 10 feet. It's up 14 on the sides, which are in a lot more. And the middle is down to 8. So the middle is now down 8, brought in a bit. The walls are corners are brought in a ton up 4. I looked into it. The math on those walls being brought up 4 feet don't mean anything, because where the ball trajectory goes in terms of distance at the fence, these balls are going to be yoked out of the yard in Toronto. And again, it's going to be electric to watch, because now you get a ballpark that was second in home runs in last year. And it just, they brought the fence in. The Toronto management with the Blue Jays know exactly what they're doing, because, man, this is going to be electric to be in that stadium. You got to get down there.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. That's certainly on the plans for this summer. I caught a few games last year. And I mean, too, it's just, they've got an electric roster. I mean, they've been fantastic. We look at the start. I mean, Vladdy's off to a fantastic start. He's itching to hit a bomb. I know they've only played 2 games there. I'm assuming that bomb is coming very soon. It's probably around plus 300, plus 350. So I might sprinkle that tonight. But Matt Chapman, I mean, this guy is in absolute form. He's hitting, what, over 450, 477 right now. It's just incredible what he's got. The second best OPS in the league, I think, behind Red Sox Adam Duvall. I mean, he's just been fantastic. So, I mean, if you can kind of get Bichette heating up a little bit, actually he's been pretty good as well. So, I mean, I do want to retract on my statement from our first episode together, Justin, because I was like, Jose Berrios is going to get off to a great start. He's going to pitch very well. You know, he's going to come in. He's got a nice friendly start against Kansas City. Gets blown up by Kansas City, comes out his second start, gets blown up. I mean, this guy, I don't know what is going on with Jose Berrios. I mean, the Jays have had some bad luck with signing some pitchers, but man, he has got gas canned through his first 2 starts. So man, they've got to get that pitching back on track. But I mean, they've been on a nice run. What'd they start? 2-4? They've won 6 straight games, 7 straight games. So the Jays are right there. I mean, they'd be looking very good if they just weren't chasing the historic baseball team.
100%. I mean, like you, it's a marathon. We talked about before, they're 8-4 right now. You can't be upset with 8-4 through 12 games. And even more so, they're 8-4 with what you mentioned, some struggling pitching. And that's something where if you could overcome that and not lose a record in terms of progression here through 12 games, like they're not sitting 2-10 and have to catch up a ton. Hey, you had some bad pitching. You still managed to go 8-4. This is a team in a great spot. They're in no problem right now. Not the time to hit the panic button for sure. Bichette, we talked about, had a little bit of a slow start. Plays the Tigers today. Tigers don't hit well. I think he's going to be able to have a great game today. I think they'll win it. I mean, again, they're playing at home against Detroit. But these are the games where Bichette could get his footing back, because he's proven before, like we said, that he's going to be successful. I think a game like this is the perfect time to kind of get your footing and run with it. So, like you said, it's going to be a tough division. We knew that. Obviously, we'll monitor it as we keep going. But Jay's in a good spot, I think, for sure. There's still room to improve. So that's all you could ask for.
Absolutely. No, it's exciting time for the AL East just in its entirety. I mean, it's going to be a fun year to follow that. Scary news. Larry Vanover, umpire. I mean, older gentleman. I was looking at, like, how old are, what do you think the median age of umpires across the league? I mean, it just seems, I rarely see a guy who looks like he's 35 umping a baseball game. It seems like they're all old guy, but on a relay throw, he got hit in the head, left the game. So scary moment there. Hopefully, I haven't seen any updates in regard to his health, but hopefully he's doing okay. I wonder if we're moving the direction of the automated umpires. I haven't heard much about it. I know last year was kind of more on the forefront, but you know, obviously a scary moment there. And are you with me? Like, does it seem like every ump is like 55 plus?
100%. I mean, it feels like the umps that are at least getting majority of the games are that age. I mean, yeah, like you said, sprinkle in a guy that looks like he's under 50 maybe, but no, you're 100% right. I mean, all the experienced guys that are getting the majority of the games, I feel like are definitely older one for sure. I mean, again, and that's the other thing is like, the guy's obviously been around a long time, so he's going to be a great umpire, but to take a baseball to the head, that's a dangerous situation. And again, you just hope he's able to recover. But you're right. You're right for sure.
I'm actually surprised that, so he was kind of at the second base area. Why aren't these guys wearing helmets? And I know that might sound soft, but if you're going to be in the field of play, I mean, get a helmet on and protect these guys. So, I mean, it's a scary moment there. So we're hoping everything's okay with Larry. Just finally, in the MLB, rookie outfielder, first rookie to start his career off with 12 straight games with a hit. 1900. So it's been over 120 years since this has happened. So outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, incredible start for Jordan Walker. Any surprises, Justin, for you through the first 10 games? I mean, obviously this sample size is extremely small, 10, 12 games in, but anything that you're caught note of that might be surprising?
A little bit, but not a ton, is the AL West. Not because of the Angels or the Texans being the top two, more so the Mariners and the Astros being losing records. I don't think the Angels are, like I said, crazy at the top. I do think that was something where, despite their struggles in recent years, they've actually become a better team and they have two of the best players in the league. But I know Altuve's hurt, and I know that would be a big argument for that. Obviously, got hurt in the World Baseball Championship. 6-7, still a little bit concerning. Like I said, with the Blue Jays, I mean, you could have some struggles and some issues, but you're 8-4, you're not a bad situation. This is a 6-7 team, which he's a big part of, so I understand that. And then the Mariners, 5-8. This is a team that I really liked for their offseason moves and where they finished last season. So, like you said, extremely early. It might be too early to jump the gun, but the last team is the Cardinals, and you just said it. Like, they have good players. They have Goldie, and a lot of experienced talent on that team. I'm blanking on another unbelievable glove in the middle infield, but unbelievable roster. Like I said, and they're sitting at 5-7 in a division that isn't too.
They have Arenado, don't they?
Arenado, exactly. Yeah. Arenado. Yeah. I mean, like, these are guys that they're not out like Altuve in that situation, and I just think their pitching is showing that it's not something that this is a slow start. And that's why I bring them up at 5-7. Like, the bats aren't too big of an issue with the guys they have, but the fact that this pitching can help them get to a better record early in the season, I'm worried it's not a slow start, and it's actually indicative of what this season might look like for this Cardinals team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is early, but you know what they say? It's like, you know, a win now is just as important as a win, you know, come September. So, you know, you like to rack them in now. I mean, every game is worth the same. So, you know, hopefully those teams can heat up. But Justin, it's been a heater of an episode. But let's just kind of talk briefly in quarter four here. What did you think of the Masters? Huge win for Jon Rahm. I don't know how much you caught on Sunday, but it was really exciting. Obviously, being in Ottawa, we got the whole 30 holes. We were all hungover, just watching, just dialed into it. I was scared, to be honest with you, man. Because I've been vocal. I've kind of put my head out there. I'm not a huge LIV Golf guy. I don't watch the LIV Golf. I don't love the setup of it. I understand why the guys left. It's a lot of money. I hate disruption. I hate change, especially when it comes to my professional sports. Golf being very close to my heart. This new league being developed. And you got Phil right there. You got Brooks Koepka leading after 2 days. You got Patrick Reed making some noise. But just in its entirety, did you enjoy the Masters?
Greg, I got to ask you. Did you hate seeing Phil back in the action, the lefty? Did you hate it? I know, again, Liv, I understand Liv, but Phil, lefty Phil, that was vintage. And again, I'm not against you there, but did you get that little bit of that old school Phil?
Do you know what I love from Phil is after day two, he goes to the media and goes, I'm close to going on a tear. And what does he do? He goes head to head with Jordan Spieth in the final round. They're both miles back of Koepka and Rahm. And they go on heaters. And then Spieth and Mickelson on the final hole. Spieth bogeys, Mickelson birdies, and he's the clubhouse leader. Yeah. Honestly, man, Phil's number two for our generation. He's number two behind Tiger 100%. Woods. And it's unfortunate that he was the guy to go over to the LIV Tour and kind of spark the change, spark the leadership. But, I mean, how can you hate Phil? I mean, there's something deep down that was so happy that obviously 2 years ago when he won the PGA Championship at age 51, but he's done nothing on the LIV Tour. He's been irrelevant. I had him in a missed cut parlay this week and he goes and he shoots, finishes minus eight. It was fun to see, man. But I honestly, when he finished minus eight, I was cheering for Rahm very hard to get that thing in.
For sure. And so was I. I mean, let's rewind the clock here. Right? We got it a little bit. We'll keep track of predictions like we said, but I gave four guys. You asked me for four guys. I gave you four guys. We need the listeners. Listeners need to tune in here. Maybe we'll cut in stuff too. I gave you Morikawa, 10th. I gave you Sungjae, tied 16th. I gave you Brooks Koepka from the LIV Tour, 2nd. And I gave you Johnny Ram, the winner. Come on now. But
is that any good, folks? Is that any good?
Let's get this rolling. We're going to have more for you. But you talk about the Masters. I thought it was a situation where I was watching. I watched start to finish. I'm not sure I missed any holes from Ram and Koepka when they were paired together Saturday, Sunday. Brooks Koepka, for me, lost that more than I thought Ram won that. And I felt like it was a situation where when I was watching, John Ram wasn't putting it tight until the last, I want to say, 10 holes of the last round. He really dialed it in. But especially Saturday when they ended up calling it short, Brooks Koepka had a lot of chances where Ram put the ball in bad situations. Ram played aggressive and it didn't pay off. And Koepka did not take advantage of it. He put himself very short on a couple holes. He almost went into water on one when Ram went in the bunker before. Like, Koepka missed a lot of big putts that would have just probably sealed it for him. Like I said, he played amazing the first two rounds. But for me, I didn't feel like watching that tournament that Brooks was going to win it going into the last day. He didn't look confident over the ball. But, like you said, I was happy Ram won it. Obviously, again, PGA Tour strong there, getting that done. Looked good for the prediction. That felt good. But again, that was a guy I said, like I said on when I gave it to you, feels like a guy who should be wearing a green jacket, and it's coming at some point. And I'm glad he got it done. He's been playing unreal. Now is his time, and I'm glad it happened for him.
Absolutely. And on Spaniard legend Seve Ballesteros' birthday, I mean, it was huge for him. And You know what? I'll go out on a limb. I think that those two guys are at least knocking on the door. I'll say two out of the three majors left. I could see Brooks Koepka. Obviously, he's got his game back, and we know he loves the majors. And John Rahm, I mean, how could you argue against him? I mean, when he's on his game, he's the best player in the world. Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm, I mean, those guys, when they have everything grooving and moving, I mean, it's hard to beat them. Tiger. I mean, the weather was just too tough on that guy. I mean, he's going to, for Tiger to even have a sniff at a contention or a top 20, he's going to need some warm days. I mean, with that new reconstructed leg, I mean, we all know what cold weather does to, you know, our body and our joints. He's just been through too much to compete. It was ugly. I hate when Tiger withdraws, but that was the case for the old guy.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy. I mean,
yeah.
This guy, I'm not going to say he's dead to me, but I had some money riding on Rory. I had a lot of DraftKings lineups with Rory McIlroy. I was bullish on Rory. +5, he had the better half of the draw, trunk slam. He's gonna get one. He will get one. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. And just to touch on Tiger, I mean, obviously he was the man for me growing up as well, just like everyone else. Like, that was the guy. That was who I was a fan of, obviously. But you know what? Like, you talk to obviously a lot of guys in the golf world and a lot of fans of him. They feel like, oh, he could win it. He could win it at the Masters. And you know what? Like, I'm kind of getting to a spot now as a fan of Tiger where it's like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he could win it. You never rule it out with him, but I'm not going to do that. For me, I'm in a spot with Tiger. I want to see him play. I'm just happy to see him play. I want him to succeed, but you just feel so bad when he gets hurt that, like, I don't want to be upset if he doesn't win it for me. I just want to enjoy whatever he plays. And he's getting to that age and stuff. Like, you again, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Tiger. But again, you just want to be healthy. I just want to see a few more years of him being able to play all four rounds at all four majors. And that's what I'd be happy with Tiger. But you just hope he gets back from this injury and is able to play a lot more of the majors for me.
Absolutely. I think that's all we can hope for is health and just for him to be there, because I mean, you have to think that he's only got a few more years left where he just can't do it. I mean, and Augusta, that walk is just such a toll, but I think in years past, like especially too when he came back from the back fusion in that 2018, 2019 window when he won the Tour Championship, he was building towards the Masters, you could kind of feel a win coming. It feels like we're a long ways away from that even being in the realm of possibilities. But no, the RBC Heritage Heritage Open on this week at Harbortown. It's funny because the winner of this event this week will get more in earnings than the Masters. So that might be something they've got to sit down and figure out, because obviously I do agree with the elevated events in the PGA Tour, but I don't know if their guys should be making more money at the Heritage than they are at the Masters. It just seems a little wild to me. But Justin, you're a killer, man. Anything to add before we close this thing up?
Just quickly, I was in a Masters pool. I'm not sure if you guys do this. We just do it with our guys here just for fun, so you could come out as the winner.
Yep.
At the second overall pick, we do a random wheel. Each guy gets two guys. Your combined pairing is who you get.
Yep.
Took John Rahm at two, so that was great, obviously. But
bang,
my second round pick, Brian Harman. Brian Harman. Didn't have a plan for pick number 50. Took Brian Harman. Missed the cut at like plus seven. He's second place at the RBC at the moment, a minus six. Come on. You're a week late, Brian Harman, for me. You're a week late. But no, again, enjoyed being here, Greg. I love this every time. Great episode. Unbelievable what's coming with the sports and everything we got dialed up. So I'm just so excited for moving forward. And again, appreciate it. Daily Intermission fans, love you. So thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, man. It's always a pleasure having you. So we'll be back. We got lots of content coming, guys. So everyone, have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back early next week.